going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70 of the Bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, is Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Redbird, a Medlock 1 on Twitter. We're coming to you, well, you know, just a couple of weeks now. We're on a Monday night, the 9th of March. So we are really, well, 2 weeks from tonight will be the last of the spring training games. It'll be the game over in Texas. So opening day's coming, Alan. It kind of feels like spring training has been going on for a while, but on the other hand, it feels like we've just flown through it and there's still a whole lot of things to decide. It's a lot of things are going to happen in those next couple weeks.
Yeah. You know, once they start playing games, it's kind of like the regular season in that it picks up quickly. And next thing you know, you're into it in one of those type of situations. So yeah, it's interesting. You see some things really starting to come together. I think you can see today. You couldn't say much just because that trip down to the Fort Myers Naples area is so far from Jupiter that, you know, it's surprising to see the veterans that did go sometimes. So, and the only reason they probably do is because they have to, you know, yeah, honestly. So you can't really tell too much from that. But I will say that at a lot of the home games and all of the closer travel road games they've had, you've seen a lineup that looks probably eerily similar to what you're going to see in April and late March and April. So it's getting pretty exciting. There's some decisions to make, and I don't know if anybody's making those decisions easy. So it's set back and enjoy here for the next couple of weeks.
Well, one person is making the decisions easy, and that's Yair Munoz, who made things very easy on the Cardinals by packing up his locker and heading home sometime last week. You know, it was very interesting. I think we kind of saw a mention or a thing in a box score of Kramer Robinson being all of a sudden being on the team and not really knowing how he got there or when, but apparently he came up when Munoz took off. And I don't know if the Cardinals, I really don't know the whole story on this, and maybe I just haven't read it, but it's not like, I don't think the Cardinals just woke up one day and realized he hadn't been around for a week. I think they kind of knew he was gone, maybe, but they couldn't get in contact with him, didn't know if he was coming back, and finally had to release him because, there really wasn't any salvaging that relationship. Jomo Zalek said they thought about putting him on the restricted list, but you know, there really wasn't any point because he wasn't going to want to play with the Cardinals anymore. It's just a really, really kind of weird situation. One of those things that doesn't really happen to the Cardinals too often, but when you just see that come out of nowhere, it was weird.
Yeah, completely strange. And it was one of those that when I read that being a Saturday morning, it was just kind of a byline on the bottom, which they knew it was going to be the biggest news after all those cuts. I was thinking, man, you know, these things do have a strange way of working themselves out, you know, whether it's kind of be all over the map and how it happens. I was a Munoz fan. I thought that he would probably be better with a lot more playing time, which probably ticketed him to Memphis. I will say this, and if it's tough, no one will remember back, but you and I had a conversation around the 1st of July, and the reason I know that is because I was sending out some text messages to guys that I know asking about how happy Munoz was, because there was mannerisms and whatnot in the dugout that didn't seem too much. I know that there was a lot of press playing time. Whenever he did play, he seemed really pressed, and there was a lot of – the mannerisms just didn't look right. And a few of the guys that I'd reached out to said, well, we don't hear that. It's basically a young player without a position who, if he probably played shortstop a little bit better, would probably get a little more run than he has. And you just kind of hated to hear that. You do kind of wonder if he's just kind of a hothead. If you remember, there were several occasions where he'd gotten into an opposing player, whether it be at bat or on the bases or, you know, several things that had happened with him. So you just never really know the guy's mentality. Still yet, it is just a bizarre situation. I was reading up on some stuff today and listening to Gould on the Scoops podcast talk about how things had kind of gone on. And yeah, he left right away after getting hurt because he had kind of seen the writing on the wall, but didn't show up for an MRI, which raised some flags and all kinds of stuff. And that they have yet to talk to him still, that everything's been through his agent. And it was one of those to where you're exactly right. It was that relationship was just severed, you know, so hard that there was just no way that they could work around that. And it was funny because Mo had made the comment. He was like, well, we made the decision for him. He was kind of wavering of just doing his outright release and moving on. So that's just kind of where they were and probably where they probably should be. But yeah, it just kind of stinks to see. I don't know if he would have ever been a much bigger factor than he ever was, but I really thought there was some potential there. But now it's a black eye on his reputation, and sometimes you just can't get over those.
Yeah, I mean, there's a better than 50-50 shot that he's not gonna play baseball anymore. I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, there's a decent, you know, I'm not saying it's, you know, a slam dunk that he very well may, but you know, when you've got a guy that apparently has kind of worn out its welcome in a couple of organizations. There was one of the A's players that had played with him, I guess, in the minor leagues. The A's basically was not at all surprised seeing Munoz do this. And, you know, you did have him apparently complaining for playing time last year and maybe this year as well. You get all that. And then you get a guy that, you know, for all intents and purposes, quit on his team. Took got in a pout, went home. Boy, I just don't know. I don't know what kind of team's going to pick him up because he's not. I mean, he's got skills and he's got abilities, but they're not necessarily things you can't find from other players. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not an all-star. He's not a really, really good player that you can kind of overlook all this stuff for. He's about an average player. I mean, he can play at the major league level. But he's not necessarily going to stand out. And if you're not going to stand out, people don't want to take on that kind of baggage. Plus he'd have to be willing to play in the minor leagues because, I mean, there'd be very few teams that are going to throw him straight into the mix, in the big league level. And, you know, he went to the Dominican and maybe, you know, he's got his agent still, maybe he'll, you know, after some time and realize what he's done and, you know, realize that he cost himself a lot of money because if he had just waited a little while, they would have had to pay his whole salary and they cut him. He got like, what, 1/6 of that pay this year. You know, maybe he'll humble himself and look for a job like that and get to the minor leagues. And, you know, maybe somebody will take him on, but it's going to be somebody like Pittsburgh or Detroit or somebody that's, I mean, he's not going to go play on a team that's going to the postseason. I mean, that's just, and, you know, maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe the playing time is more important for him, but, you know, I think it's going to be, I mean, at some point in time, he's probably going to regret what he did because, I mean, Mike Shildt was saying he had an inside track on a roster spot, which I thought was a little bit interesting because I thought he would play, like you were saying, play a lot more at Memphis this year and really get a little bit of a rhythm and, you know, see what he could do with more at bats. But he could have easily been in the major leagues or if nothing else, sitting on the major league injured list after he hurt his hamstring. All in all, it doesn't speak well to his decision making, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, and it's one of those to where I wanted to look and say, hey, I knew in the back of my mind about where he was age wise, but I kind of wanted to look and see maybe he was 22, mm-hmm. 23 at that point and thought, hey, you know, he just needs to grow up. 25 is not that much different, but you've spent 2+ years in the bigs and it's about time. I mean, you know where you are. You know what I mean? You've cashed, whether it's not what some stars have done, you've cashed some pretty big checks, you know, and rode a big league bus. I mean, that says a lot. You know, it makes you wonder about his mental state. And, you know, it's he could play every day into the Dominican. He's not going to play against that competition, and he's not going to make that much money. And it's one of those to where you're just like, man, shot yourself in the foot. It's sad to see.
Yeah. And, I mean, he could have – you know, it seems like he could. He probably is, you know, Ozuna was a good friend of his, and Ozuna's not around. And I think he had a good relationship with Jose Martinez, who's not around. So maybe he felt a little isolated in the clubhouse, too. And I could understand that.
Sure.
But that's
sure.
When you push for a trade or something and say, hey, let, you know, see if you, you know, And what everybody's saying, if he's seen the writing on the wall, there's something to that. I mean, there, that writing is there. He wasn't imagining things. I mean, with Edmund playing in the middle infield, with Mendo Sosa playing so well this spring, you know, a couple other middle off, Brad Miller being signed, there was a really good chance he wasn't going to get a whole lot of playing time. So, you know, I can see him going to Mo and saying, look, this isn't working out. You know, can we do something here? And I think, you know, we've talked about it before that this has felt like a year that, you know, a trade could happen at the end of spring. I think Mo would have probably done his best to do that.
Yeah.
But he didn't get the opportunity.
Yeah, it's terrible situation, and it's one of those to where it's easy to turn your back on a guy like that that does that. I mean, all of us would love that kind of opportunity, and would think that we wouldn't squander it away. And you know, he's a professional athlete with the chance to be that for a while, and probably may never again. And it's a sad situation. Today, Gould brought something up, and it's one of those. There was an incident that sticks out in my mind that's similar to this, but I may be completely wrong, and my memory, you know, may have slipped. Did Felipe Lopez not do something like this to the Cardinals during the season once? Wasn't there? Isn't that what happened on his second go around? I can't remember the exact details, but I felt like it was something like that.
There was something for Lopez. You're right. I don't remember exactly what it was either, and I'll hunt up a little bit. But he had a weird ending to his Cardinal career too, if I remember right.
Yeah, and there was that one, and then he was bringing up Davy Cruz. And that was one that doesn't stick out in my mind. I was thinking that the Felipe deal stuck out more than anything, because that was a guy that I actually thought that I would like a lot more than I did, and hated to see what happened. But you know, he may have been a head case, and that's why he didn't stick on with anybody.
Yeah, there's a possibility. The only thing on Wikipedia just says that he wasn't in the Cardinals had to focus on younger players, and they, you know, he wasn't a young player anymore.
Yeah.
Let him go. But I'd have to dig into some of the old posts or something like that and see if I wrote anything back in the day about it. I don't remember right now, but it does feel like there was a bit of a weird issues with him. And maybe not, maybe the same thing, you know, and Tony Russo's one, a guy that's not going to handle that very well. I think he's not going to suffer fools. So if it was a situation where Lopez was causing more trouble than he was producing on the field, then he wasn't going to stick around. let's shift gears just a little bit to something I don't really know how to transition, because it's not a real good spot here, but I'm going to do it anyway. We've seen a lot of issues now with the coronavirus, and I was going to say that because if anybody hears me coughing, I do not have the coronavirus. I just have allergies. But you know, we saw today that Major League Baseball is going to be closing clubhouses, and the press isn't going to be getting in, which seems a bit of kind of like a symbolic gesture that doesn't really necessarily mean a whole lot. But there's talk, you know, I think the Japanese leagues are postponing their start to their season. And there's talk about Major League Baseball doing the same, although that baseball hasn't said they're going to yet. It obviously hasn't reached epidemic portions here in the country yet. It's obviously stronger in China and Japan and things of that nature, but there are some cases here. There's cases in St. Louis.
Case in Tulsa.
Okay. Well, Arkansas has been spared so far, at least according to the map. So, do you think that they're going to have to do something like that? Or is there going to be something drastic about, you know, we're counting down the days here. Like we said, 2.5 weeks till opening day. Is it going to be 2.5 weeks to opening day? Or are they going to wind up putting everything on hold for a while?
You know, I have... I know, and some of the health officials that I know. And what I was told was I probably wouldn't worry about anything super immediate, but maybe 2 to 3 weeks, Final Four, Masters, and stuff like that could be a possibility of postponement if improvement isn't what they think it is. which is a scary thought. I mean, these things, I will tell you, I'm the biggest skeptic of these pandemics, and these sicknesses, because we're so far ahead of everybody technologically, medical technology wise, that we can usually get out ahead of it. I think we're behind the eight ball on this a little bit than we were. There's probably reasons why that we probably shouldn't get into on this, but I don't know. And I keep wanting to think that it is going to be cut off at the pass before we get to those things. But seeing other leagues do it, and I think you were right, I think it's symbolic on several things. I'll go another route and think that MLB doing that to the clubhouses is rather opportunistic, and I'm not the biggest fan of that move. And like I said, we could get really political on a lot of these things, and it just seems like a move that they've been wanting to do for 50 years. And that's what worries me about it. But yeah, I'm kind of a setback and see what happens as far as the virus goes. And, you know, wash your hands and protect the elderly and sick. That's basically how I put it.
Yeah. I will say that there is nobody ever more aggrieved than a journalist that loses something. But I think they may have a little bit of a point here, because if there's a journalist or a player that's been exposed to it or whatever, that's a different story. But in general, you know, again, it's one of those things. If it's not out there, or, you know, not even suspected to be out there, I don't see that this is a big, it's going to save a whole lot of things, especially when you're talking about putting 40,000 people in a ballpark. And then you're worried about, you know, 30 or so in a clubhouse. So, you know, again, I think that journalists can get by. I know that it's not as easy for them, but I also feel like, and I know they get their stories. I'm not discounting that this is difficult for them, but there are other ways to get the information out there. And, you know, there's so many different ways that we get our information. So, I know, but I hope that's okay. I hope it's not going to be anything significant, and that pushes it back. One, because that would be a terrible thing for the country to have. You know, if it's that bad, we're delaying games and stuff, then that's pretty bad. But also, I mean, we've gone through this whole winter, and we're counting down to this time. To have it just taken away from us at the last minute is kind of like Lucy kicking in the football with Charlie Brown. So, hopefully, we're not gonna have to worry about that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you completely. And I'm optimistic that we will not have to. Let's just hope that we get a little more clarity, you know, by the end of this week about where we are with things.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get, I mean, again, that was just kind of a weird tangent I thought we would go off on. But let's get back to a little bit more of the news from this weekend. And that was Cardinals putting down their signing all the players to contracts for, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's, you know, we're recording this at 9 o'clock at night, which is not our normal lately. And I'm apparently getting a little bit, loopy on it. But renewed the contracts for everybody that was 0 to 3 years, which mainly meant that Jack Flaherty got renewed at not quite minimum. They have a formula, which is interesting, and it's cool that they have a formula, but the fact that there's a penalty in there for the person not agreeing to terms or for 2 years in a row, that just seems wrong to me. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of justification to it, and I just don't know what it is.
Confusing to me. I mean, Gould gives a fantastic breakdown on the Scoops. It was either yesterday or today. I listened to about 3 days in a row today when I was out driving around. So they all kind of run together, but yeah, it aims more, and even they made this comment too, that this is more about the system than it is about the Cardinals, which makes a ton of sense. Yeah, it just doesn't seem positive all the way around. I saw that Juan Soto was in the same boat tonight, that he was renewed, and it comes with it's almost one of those to where when you read it, you kind of wince. Without getting completely jumbled on this, I don't know. This is another one of those situations where I feel like we're going to see some pretty substantial changes to the next CBA, and this is just another coin in that fountain.
Yeah, I agree that it's the system's a little bit shaky, and we'll see exactly what they do with it.
Yeah, that's, and like I said, that list is growing by the day of grievances that players are having with the union, and that's a scary situation, because that's a lot of stuff that they're going to have to come together on, you know, to make sure there's not a work stoppage one way or the other.
Yeah, and that's becoming more and more difficult. You're right.
Yeah,
to figure that they're not going to, but you know, again, it was nice that the Cardinals gave, you know, kind of went away from their formula a little bit and gave Flaherty credit for his, you know, Cy Young finishing last year. But man, it's still weird to me. And I think it's just telling that Flaherty is. I feel like it's not just Flaherty. Like you said, Soto's in this situation, some others maybe as well. I think the players that of today just look at this and say, look, there's no reason why I should agree with the team's terms.
Yeah.
Because they're going to oppose them anyway. And if I agree with them, I think they can use it and say, oh, well, see, we both thought that he was worth $550,000 last year.
Yeah.
And instead of being able to say, no, they thought I was worth that. I thought I was worth more, especially when he gets into arbitration and Flaherty will be there next year. That could be a big deal. And I think that's a talking point that he takes away from the team because of that.
Yeah. And Gould mapped that out too. That's that was an aspect of it that I hadn't really thought about, was he was like, you don't want to show your hand on that because you lose that amount of leverage in your first arbitration hearing. He said that's why he doesn't want to show that he's agreeing with this, you know, type of situation. I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense, and it doesn't seem as ominous on the Cardinals' end as it did. That has not relieved any of the shadow that I feel is over the players' union at this point.
Yeah. No, I don't imagine it will. So, you know, I think there's an idea that the Cardinals could come and try to buy out his arbitration years, but it just doesn't seem like that's the thing that Flaherty's interested in. And it's and we'll maybe transition a little bit here. You know, we talked a lot going into the spring, and it always seems to be coming up about extensions. So far, nobody's signed one. You know, we kind of thought we'd see a Yadier Molina extension by now, or maybe Colton Wong, because he's reaching close to the end of his contract. We haven't seen one yet. Do you think we'll see one before the end of the, I mean, I don't really hear any talk about one either.
Yeah, I bet I have a feeling we'll see Molina probably closer to opening day, you know, and it may even be a situation where they do it before or after Texas. Is there one or two off days before the opening of that new ballpark and opening day? I can't remember, and I can't pull it up.
There's two off between Texas. Texas plays play in Texas on the 23rd, and then the 24th and 25th are off, and then they go and they're in Cincinnati on the
23rd. Okay, cool. See, I could see it happening between then, just so that it won't take a little bit of the spotlight away from that ballpark. But that's the one that I do see getting done. Wong, I do not see getting done. Now, that could be something during the season. I just feel like the Molina is probably a set in stone situation to happen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that one, Molina's kind of given up a little bit of his leverage of the idea that he doesn't want to play anywhere else. So they don't feel like there's a push for that. But I also think that there's a, you know, real desire to make Yachty happy. And because Yachty also feels like a guy that if you didn't give him this extension, might change his mind.
I see. Yeah. I completely agree with that. And it was funny because Mark Sexton posted something along those lines, not about him leaving. And I can't remember the context of how we put it, but it was one of those to where it was basically, I'm either a Cardinal or I'm leaving. And I said, well, that's refreshing to know, because I keep thinking that's going to get heated at some point. And I say heated to where he's mad and he's definitely going to go somewhere else. But I do get the feeling that if he has the a decent first half and there's not something done, you probably buys him another year. And I think that he could change his mind to do something like that. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I keep expecting this to get ugly in some way. So it was nice to see that it may not, but I'm still always skeptical about those a little bit.
Yeah, and I got to admit, it was interesting. I think it was Saxon's article or mailback or whatever that he said that Molina had told the organization he was open to playing less in the second year of that contract, which, one, you could argue maybe Yachty needs to be open to playing less in the first year of an extension. But, two, I think that's more than we ever really thought. I think we kind of feel like if the day Yachty Molina didn't think he could play 140 games was the day Yachty Molina quit. And so for him to be at least open to lesser role is, one, something. Two, you got to hold it to it. And three, that might be enough to get the job done.
Yeah. That's, it kind of goes back into that. I do kind of wonder about it, but it's funny. The first thing I thought about is his value is so high that I could see them still paying him pretty well, even for a part-time role, because they basically get another coach out of it.
Yeah, and the whole, you know, it's Yachty, you're bringing people to the ballpark. And
a great point. Or a great point. You know, I didn't think about it. I didn't even factor that in.
You've also got, I've said this, I think it was Tara a while back. Yachty's the only real Cardinal that I could see getting one of those farewell tours. If he came out, you know, if he signed the 2 years extension and said, hey, I'm going to retire at the end of 2022, you know, that last tour around in 2022, I could see him being like, you know, like Jeter was. You know, you get the pictures and you get the, you know,
rocking chairs.
Rocking chairs and things like that. And I'm not saying that Yachty wants that. I don't know if he has any interest in that, but I think that he's been around the league and has a respect around the league. I feel like he's a guy that most people, you know, there's debates of whether he's a Hall of Famer between, you know, writers and fans and all that stuff. But it feels like every player that we've ever seen him around has a deep respect for Yachty or Molina. And so I think that he could be one of those guys that gets that. And that's kind of cool. You know, I think that, you know, some people may not like it too much, and it's a lot more irritating when it's not your player. But to see Yachty get, I mean, if nothing else, to see Yachty get, respect or honored like that in Cincinnati would be worth the price of admission right there.
Sure. That would be fun to watch. And that's a great point. And it's probably a deserved point for somebody that's put in the miles that he is at such a grueling position and earned the respect that he has. It would be awesome to see.
Yeah, it would be fun. All right. Well, we've got the actual games going on. Like I said, Cardinals won 3-0 today. I kind of dug into, I didn't dig into, I looked up a couple of stats, so that's not really digging. That's definitely, I mean, Zach Gifford does that in his sleep, you know, I mean, this is nothing. But I did a little bit of comparing some numbers between what the Cardinals did in spring training last year and what they've done so far this year. And the significantly increase in offensive numbers, both, you know, the two I glanced at real quick were home runs and on base percentage, where they went from bottom of the pack to the top 5-7 somewhere in there this year. Again, it's spring training, it's all that, but it's also Florida, where it's been tough to hit in the past. Is this an indication that the offense may be kind of meshing with what Jeff Albert is teaching?
It's an interesting thought. I think that you have to maybe take that into strong consideration. Who was it? I can't remember if it was Mo or Gould. And not to keep talking about that, people kind of get bored about it, and that's probably stuff they listen to. They pointed toward how bought in DeYoung has been with Albert. Mm. And I don't know if anybody outside of Carlson has put up the spring that DeYoung has. And that's promising, you know, especially when everybody thought, well, last year, 30 homers, 30 doubles, I think is a great season when you're in, especially, well, I won't even get into the defensive side of it, but he's much more valuable than I think that gets looked at just because of how he finished. But another strong season from him, and I mean, you're looking at, you know, some pretty substantial awards in that kind of deal. That being said, I feel like DeJong is also a kind of a lead by example kind of guy, and I think that'll be beneficial. They have looked different. I felt like in the games that I've watched, which are probably, you know, just basically the televising when the Mets televise them, and I try to watch them as much as I can on those. I felt like they had a really positive and direct approach to hitting to the opposite field and better situational hitting, something that we didn't see and something that has kind of been missing from baseball a little bit. I feel like Colton Wong is the guy that you've really seen do that. And those are intriguing things. I mean, because if you can't shift on a Wong, he's going to be that much better of a player because his speed is just game-changing speed. And, you know, if he's going to be that type of hitter in the leadoff spot, they could have a pretty deadly offense. So that's really nice to see. They look a little bit different. I think some of that is the fact that you're OPSing so high on a guy like Carlson, who's shown to be a great base runner and a great player, you know, knocking on the door. And we can get into that later. I think that I don't know if we've just beat that to death or if everybody has, but I think that you may be onto something as far as the approach. I was glad to see you posting those numbers today, because it kind of validates what I feel like we can see, because sometimes when I watch the games, especially in the spring, I think I'm so glad to see him back that I'm going to look for every positive and blow that out of the water more than I should. But it kind of validates some of the things that I have seen and have believed to see. I feel like there's some things with Bader that I kind of feel like haven't changed much, but I do feel like he's hitting the ball hard. Some of the signs that we saw last year, which is promising. But all around, I feel like they have looked good. And I think that you may be right about that, that it could be just the change of approach. And some of these things are starting to take hold now, to where you and I both felt like there was probably rushed to judgment last year.
Yeah. Let's see. They're tied for seventh in home runs this spring at 24. And they're only three behind the Indians in second place. There's only two National League teams ahead of them, the Phillies and the Dodgers are actually tied with them. Try to look more about what a lot of those teams are in Florida. So there is that.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say the same thing.
I mean, I can't say that. I mean, I think the Arizona ball, you know, Arizona's numbers usually go up higher than the Florida ones, but
completely
right
agree.
Right here, it's a pretty good mix of teams that are training in one place or another.
Yeah.
And then on base percentage, you know, the Cardinals are seventh right now, .348. That's, you know, again, you always like to be first, but you can't argue too much. Although it is a little bit sad to say, when you look at OPS here, the Cubs and the Reds are ahead of them, but again, they're out in Arizona. So that's not too, you know, that does help a little bit. I just want to say one thing. Here's an interesting stat too, for me at least, because you remember last year as the season started, they were striking out a ton that first month, especially the first couple of weeks where they were double digit strikeouts, seemed like every day. Right now they have struck out 143 times in spring. That's 23rd in baseball. So I don't know. I mean, again, it's spring training. There's a lot of different things. You got players that aren't going to be on the roster this year, making a lot of playments, you know, things like that. But I don't know. I think you're right. You kind of grab onto things that are important, but I do feel like this is at least some sort of sign that the offense is good. I mean, the offense almost had to be better than it was last year anyway.
Yeah.
But these kind of numbers make you think that, again, I'm not saying that they're going to be all-stars offensively, but even if they're just league average or above league average, you know, you put that with the pitching and the defense and all that kind of stuff, and that could be very, very successful for them.
Yeah, it's if I'm not, this is completely off memory and reading box scores and watching and listening to the games when I can. If I'm not mistaken, I think they've only had one 10 plus strikeout game this spring. I think they've only had one. That may be wrong, but I think it was. I think they had 12 at one point last week, and I think that was their first double-digit strikeout game. But I'm not saying that with 100% certainty, though.
Right. I feel like maybe they had one kind of early, but I haven't been able to pay enough attention to be sure. So, but it does feel like you're right. We're seeing them put the ball in play more, and, you know, they haven't been – have they been shut? I'm not sure if they've been shut out maybe once in the spring, and you know, they've been able to put some runs together, not just by the home run. And like you said, they're hitting the ball off the field. You see, you know, lead off doubles and things like that, and then actually get that stuff in.
Do you have the numbers pulled up right now?
I can maybe find.
Don't worry about it. I thought you may have a sheet pulled up.
I've got the stats for each team here.
How are they on doubles?
Let's see. Doubles, they are not quite as good. They are actually tied for 18th.
Okay, that's one thing that they didn't hit many doubles last year. You know what I mean? Those are your rally starters and your big hits. I mean, you know, the ones that go over the fence get the headlines, but I'm a big doubles guy, and I say that on here all the time. And that's one of those where I felt like in some of their slugging, I felt like some of those needed to be extra base slugging. And I would like to see that be a little bit higher.
Well, and I will say, I mean, because this is a small sample, we're talking about, you know, 2+ weeks here. They're 18th, tied for 18th with three other teams at 30. The Boston Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds are tied for 7th with 34.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota, yeah. You know, I mean, you get it, you know, Arizona's at 4th with 37. The top three have over 40. But, you know, you could be... you know, one or two more could have put them right there in that mix. So,
yeah,
you know, it's difficult to say, you know, just because it is, you know, 12 games or whatever. And well, I guess here it is. The Cardinals have played 18 games, and a couple of those teams ahead of them have played 19. And so there's a few extra games, some of them played less, but, I don't know. Like I said, I feel a little bit better. I don't know that I'm going to worry as much about this offense. Now, they could come out and be just terrible in April, but I'm not going to worry as much about this. Now, I guess it'll depend on, you know, who they start running out there, because let's break this down into players, you know. I mean, you still got Dexter Fowler, who's hitting, you know, 080 with three walks and 10 strikeouts. And if Dexter Fowler is starting regularly in April, a lot of that stuff kind of gets short-circuited, I think. If you're putting the lineup together today, and I hate to throw this at you because we didn't talk about it beforehand, but if you're putting it together today, what's it going to look like, do you think?
For opening day?
I hate to say opening day because that just, you know, you're playing against lefties and all that stuff.
So but you, yeah. Yeah.
Your general lineup.
Exactly. Well, it's... In a perfect world, to me, I think that you're going to look at Wong. You're probably going to go. I would say the Edmund factor makes such a big deal to me, because, like, let's just say this: opening day, I feel like you're going to have Edmund and Fowler in the lineup, and that's not going to be popular. But I feel like that's how it's going to work. And I think they're committed enough to Carpenter to where he's going to be your third baseman, which means Edmund will probably be in left field. I just don't like saying that because I feel like that is a step back on O'Neill right away. You know what I mean by that? From somebody who I felt like has had a really good camp. I'll probably say it's going to be Wong and a combination of Carpenter / Edmund hitting second. I think preferably they'll have Edmund hitting second. And then I think you're going to see that roll downhill to where you can go ahead and put Goldschmidt and DeYoung as your cleanup hitter. And O'Neill or Carpenter as your five hole, depending on the Edmund situation. And then you'll probably go with Molina, you know, hitting seventh or sixth. And I think Bader's going to be in the lineup. And who am I missing here? I think your infield, you know, you're going to go Carpenter, DeYoung, Wong, Goldschmidt, Molina, and preferably to me, O'Neill and Bader and Fowler, just because I feel like that's the direction you're going to go. But Edmund's going to be in the lineup, you know. So yeah, I mean, I think everything's going to be built off that top four and be flexible from there. Because, well, I guess seven. Then you know you're going to have Bader. I would rather Bader probably hit in that eighth spot if he hits, and which I think is a challenge to him because I think strikeouts are so big right there. You know, I always hated that with Wong when Wong was striking out a lot when he would hit eighth because I think it limits you in so many. It's a detriment to you in that situation. But that's kind of how I think it will probably line up. I don't know what – I feel like at this point, everything – I don't know if Carlson can keep it up at this pace to where he forces the issue with him. But I think that he's going to be in St. Louis rather quickly. I think that you're going to get an extended look at Fowler. And I'm not so certain that's he's kind of making us look bad at this point, and I mean like you and I, because we want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's kind of tough to do when you see some of those at bats, and now you're starting to see a regular lineup all the time where you also see an opposing pitcher who you're going to see throughout the season a lot of times, and the numbers just aren't there. And I know we can't go over numbers and everything, but like you said, 3 walks and 10 strikeouts. That's not what you want to see. You want to see that flip for a guy like Fowler, yeah. which is tough. So that's kind of jumbled, but that's kind of how I feel like you'll see the makeup. If Carlson does come up, and I do think he will, he's going to be an everyday player at one position. Now, whether that's center field or whether that's right field, I think it's going to happen. And then you bring up a guy like Thomas, who in theory, Thomas has had just as equal, if not better numbers than Bader has had. This camp, but like you said, the incumbent has the edge on that, and I think he's just been slightly better than Thomas defensively, which is going to give him the edge there too.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people, of course, when Munoz was cut, because I put out a tweet that said, you know, they needed to, of course, before we knew the whole situation, but it was like, you know, if you're going to free up a 40-man spot, which you're going to have to do for Carlson at some point in time, or if you wanted to bring up Cody Whitley or some of these other guys that may not be on the 40 band, although I think Carlson and Whitley may be the only ones that you really have to worry about right now. I say, you know, if you're going to free it up, who else are you going to get rid of? Of course, everybody wants to get rid of Fowler and Carpenter and all that, and that's just not going to happen for baseball reasons. But I still feel like, especially Fowler, I feel like he can provide some value to this team. I just wish that they would commit to using him as a fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the contract is the contract, but it's also, one, sunk cost, you're paying him no matter. And two, you're getting to the fourth year, right? The fourth year of the, mm-hmm. of the 5-year deal, you know, you got to kind of expect by this point in time, he's going to start transitioning into that. I mean, he was going, you know, when you planned it out 5 years from now, you didn't expect him to be an all-star in that season 5. You kind of expected for him to start tapering off. Now, it's obviously he's tapered significantly more than you thought, but, you know, there's no reason to force him out there. And you gave Fowler as much confidence as much support as you could give him last year. And it worked out. And again, maybe you're right. They probably start the year that way. But I just kind of feel like that's got to be shorter.
Yeah.
Less slack. I mean, you can't go into June with him hitting 180, and even if you're moving him to the bottom of the lineup, when you've got all these other guys that need that option, you know, I'd like to see O'Neill and Bader and Thomas as a starting outfielder.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Before Carlson gets the call up,
sure.
excuse me. But I just, you know, I just don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And as for Carpenter, boy, I don't know. You know, for a while there, it looked like Carpenter might have gotten a little bit of his, you know, swing back. And maybe he has, but he's hitting 200 right now. His on-base percentage is .333. So there's something. He's not striking out nearly as much as he did last year. He's only got 5 strikeouts on the spring, although I think he had like 3 in one game. I don't know. You've seen more of it than I have. I mean, does it feel like Carpenter's got some, you know, some comeback in him again, not to the MVP levels, but at least where he could be a regular player and not everybody's throwing torches at him.
I want to optimistically say that, yes, I feel like Carpenter will be a productive player. And I think that he will be used correctly just because I think that you have the – I think that Edmund is one of those that's going to be – he's kind of like that Swiss Army knife at this point where he can play so many different positions. And he gives you a little bit of leverage and a little bit of a situation to where you can alleviate some of the things where you could avoid any pitfalls with Carpenter. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. I feel like you can disperse playing time, and I feel like you have enough of the outfield playing well to where you don't have to have him when you need Edmund in the lineup and you need him hitting two preferably. I feel like you can play him at third base, you know, and that's I'm pretty confident in that at this point, which kind of alleviates a little bit of the Carpenter situation. Like I said, I'm not so sure. I don't know. The Fowler dilemma is tough because now I've already started to lose a little bit of faith. And you know, I've said on here several times that to maximize his value, I think you should probably lead him off anyway, because that's the things he's best at are getting on base and base running and creating runs. You know, he's very good at going first to third, scoring from second, and he's athletic. That's slowly totally tapering off to me, to where you can kind of see some of these guys that I think are just as beneficial. I'll tell you this. I feel like Carlson is a great base runner. And it's one of those to where he's aggressive, and it's easy to say when you're that age because I think you're going all out and you can catch guys off guard a lot in spring. But he's doing a lot of things right that I think that Cardinal fans are going to love. And I think he's doing a lot of things right that Schilt loves. But it's going to be feet to the fire situation for Schilt, because I think that I do feel like Fowler's going to play a lot. I feel like Carpenter's going to play a lot in the beginning. But I agree with you. The leash has to be short on that. And you have seen guys perform now in their tryout. And I understand it's spring, and I know it's abbreviated, and I know it's a short sample size. But no, guys really don't have another chance to do this. And they're doing what they wanted to do. And what they've wanted them to do, and that's perform and compete and make a name for themselves. And I feel like guys have done that. And it's going to be interesting breaking camp how they do it. I mean, it's the roster makeup from the beginning of the season is probably going to be frustrating to a lot of people. But I just think that they're going to be able to maneuver on that quite a bit just by how guys have performed.
So from what I can gather from what you're saying is, you're not expecting Carlson to go north.
I do not expect Carlson to go north. Yeah.
I think it's probably true for various reasons. I think the biggest thing is, you know, we've talked about it, and I think this kind of goes back to the Matheny area too. I think that John Mozeliak wants to be certain that if Carlson comes up, he plays every day.
I agree.
Some place or another. He may play all the different outfield spots. But... And maybe it's a conversation that he has with Mike Schilt, and they say, can you commit to this? You know, if you can, he's coming north. If you can't just yet, then I'll give you a month, 6 weeks to figure out how to, because probably by then he's going to need to come up. Now, I mean, it happens that he might go to Memphis and struggle a little bit, and that gives a little bit more breathing room to the people up front, but there's a good chance that he doesn't. You know, I've gone into this spring pretty sure that he wasn't going to make the team, if only because they wanted to look at Thomas and O'Neill. But he is making it very difficult for them to find a reason not to. I mean, you know, there are reasons. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He obviously looks like he can belong. And we'll see how he does the next couple of weeks, especially as, like you said, they start seeing some of the more regular pitchers. I don't feel like we've seen a full lineup yet, just because of people sitting out and stuff. But it's probably coming. Probably coming maybe by the end of this week, we'll see what really will be an opening day lineup. You know, so we've had a couple. Sure. There was a couple that were real close. But a home lineup where everybody's at home. Let's see. They play the Astros at home on Friday. They play the Marlins on Saturday, and they play the Red Sox at home on Sunday. I mean, one of those games, or all of them, may see a lineup that really looks like opening day lineup. And if Carlson's in it, that may be a big tell. I don't know. I think it's a lot more of a possibility than I ever thought it would be. Just because I expected him to do well, but I expected him to be on par with O'Neill and with Thomas and all that. And he's outplayed them.
Sure.
I mean, that's right so far.
Yeah.
And it's spring, and that doesn't mean everything, but it does mean something. All right. Let's shift to Alex Reyes, maybe. Alex Reyes pitched today.
Well, I'm an idiot, and I was on mute. So I'm a moron. I'm Reyes, because you made a good point, and I wanted to give you some credit for it, is you worded it correctly by saying that that Carlson's making the decision difficult for him. I completely agree with that. I do not like the retort that he's making it easy for him, because that's just not how it works. You know, that's everybody wants to kibosh Fowler as quickly as possible, and it's not going to happen. I mean, I think there's if he did, we would be shocked if that were to go. We all agree with this, that he is going to play if he's up. I early in the season, I think that if he does break camp with him, you're going to see him in center field more than you will in right field. That's just kind of how I feel, and I'm just not certain that's the way that they're going to approach Bader. So I think that you build a slight safety net by sending him to Memphis, because A, he hasn't played down there a whole lot, and you don't know yet whether an extended period of failure in the big leagues doesn't maybe stall development. And I think that you can get away with those two. And those are not popular opinions, but I think that you could probably go that route and be pretty safe and make the outlook a little bit rosier, you know, that's of looking at a 5-year plan as opposed to a 5-month plan.
Yeah. Of course, you know, the thing is, even if it's Bader that's struggling, or that's who gets the short end of the stick, you know, both O'Neill and Thomas can play center field as well. So, you know, there is there's a mix and match possibility just about every day of, you know, all four or all five of those guys, you know, rotating through, where you could, I mean, it would take a lot of really deliberate planning. And yeah, you sometimes would have to, you know, a guy might get three hits one day and have to sit the next day because you're going to have to stick to that schedule. But you could, in theory, rotate those five guys, and all of them get fairly equal playing time. I don't know if that's what the Cardinals want to do, especially with Carlson. I feel like they might want him to stay in one spot and get health and get comfortable, even though he can play all of those. I don't know if that's what they want to do when he gets his first call up to the big league.
Sure, it has a lot of a Pujols feel to it right now.
Yeah.
To where, you know, it's one of those to where he's going to have to knock their socks off, or opportunity is going to have to open up for him to get a look, and then he's going to have to run with it, and that's exactly what they want to see happen. So, you know, I don't want anybody to think I'm saying he's going to be Pujols, but he is he's the best thing we've seen since Tavares, and that's kind of where we are. And it's exciting to have this conversation. You know, it's, you know, social media kind of blows it out of the, it's just changed things so much, because there's more hate and just deliberate, you know, dislike to the organization, because they feel like they're sliding the fans and Carlson by not bringing him up. And I just don't know if that's certainly true.
Yeah. I don't feel like it is. Again, yeah, if he had played all year at Memphis last year, I mean, you have an argument there. And if they were playing Dexter Fowler and two other Dexter Fowlers, you know, in the outfield, and not playing him, then I think there's a better case. But, you know, there are a lot of talent right now in the outfield, and he may be the most talented, but is he so much more than he has to be jumped up? I don't know if that's there.
No.
So, So anyway, since I teased it a minute ago while you were on mute, let's go ahead and talk before we wrap up, because we haven't talked too much. Let's talk about Alex Reyes, who did pitch today, got a save, struck out, I think, a couple batters. You know, he struggled his first time out this spring, but it seems like every time since then he's gotten better, and his command's getting a little bit better. It really feels like he's probably going to be on the opening day roster as well in some form or fashion. And again, we've talked about that bullpen before, and I don't know that the bullpen has gotten any clearer
sure.
over the last little bit. It's probably gotten more complex with, as well as people like Daniel Ponce de Leon and Austin Gomber are pitching. Although the injury to Andrew Miller may help a little bit in that regard. But what do you think about Reyes? I mean, what are we going to, and if he does go north, how are they going to use him?
I like what I'm seeing. I'm also a Reyes honk and have been forever. I'm really glad for him. I'm glad for the Cardinals. Like I said, there's still a little bit of fastball command issues, but I will say I'll take multiple strikeout appearances just about every time. And I just think that kind of shows his stuff. We all know that it's there, and it could be a weapon. The bullpen may not allow him in on opening day, and I hope that's not a situation to where he goes down and really faces it like he did last year, or like Munoz did. And that's kind of my concern, just because I feel like guys have performed so well that he just may get pushed out just because of, you know, the injury history and just a proving ground in Memphis. I hope that's not the case, but it may be. I feel like you're going to see him in a pseudo Carlos role like we had last year. And I say that because I think Junior Fernandez is going to get a long look at closer until Hicks gets back, where I thought that it was going to be Reyes a little bit. I think you can probably make Reyes that seventh, eighth, or ninth or big out guy and could go multiple innings. And I feel like that's another way that you can kind of bank some innings with the idea that he may be a starter next year. I think that's how they're going to use him. I hope that's how they use him. I hope we see a lot of Reyes this year. I hope we see a lot of Reyes success, and I hope that we see him healthy all season. I mean, that's just kind of what I want for him. I pull for him probably as much as more than any Cardinal, just because of, you know, selfish reasons of at one point I want to see a rotation of Reyes and Martinez. And you throw Flaherty in there, and, you know, if they're peaked where we close to what they think they're going to be, that would be pretty lethal. I'd like any contribution from him from right now. I haven't given up on him, and I hope that things stay like they are to where he progresses each and every time out.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely still some work to do. He gave up a couple of hits today. I know that the last time he pitched, he gave up a run, I think, in his two innings of work. On a changeup that was outside that really wasn't a very good pitch, but he has looked, you know, like I said, he walked nobody this time. He's got what's his walks on the spring here? Let's see if we can find him. Yeah, here he is. He's walked three guys in 4.1 innings, but I think a couple of those were early on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He struck out nine in that span.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, he's given up eight hits. That's a problem. But yeah, there's work there. There's things
that, yeah,
that might be able to be used. And
hits generally means around the plate. And I think that's what the Cardinals want to see more than anything.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree with that. And he's just got to start figuring out a way to, you know, get around it and be able to get those guys out instead of letting them hit what he's got. It's interesting that you say that Junior Fernandez might get that closer look. I mean, not that he doesn't have the stuff for it. I mean, he's got eight strikeouts this spring, but just the lack of experience, not that that's a bad thing. I'm just interested to see hear you say that you think he might get that opportunity. I kind of still feel like, especially with Andrew Miller going out, they may rotate a few guys in the seventh, eighth, and ninth for a while. Not You know, Gallegos might get it a couple nights. Fernandez might get it sometimes. Reyes might if he's on the roster, you know, just depending on who's pitched recently and what the matchups look like. I mean, we kind of thought they would do that last year or maybe a couple years ago when they before Hicks came along. And they haven't really done it, but I think they've got the arms to do it this year where that, you know, if everybody's bought in to this idea that they could be the guy that comes in the eighth or the ninth, they've got the talent to do that.
Sure. And the bullpen, just think about it. I mean, the bullpen is a situation where, I mean, you named five or six guys and didn't name Brebbia, who may, you may be one of your best options. So that's a good problem to have. I mean, that's the one thing right now that you can't take away from the Cardinals, and you just hope it's not we're seeing their best, but boy, they have a wealth of pitching. I mean, it is, it's pretty impressive right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at, and I mean, and the guy that we kind of wrote off for the year, which was Dakota Hudson, just expecting him to regress. And he's got four walks this spring and 12 innings, which I don't know if that's great, but it's definitely better than what we saw out of him last year.
Yeah.
And when he's striking out a batter an inning too, that helps. So, you know, that starting rotation could be really, really good. You've got guys like Gant and Ponce de Leon and Gomber that are fighting for a fifth spot that may not be there because, you know, KK is pitching so well that he's probably going to get that fifth spot, and he should. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at. I mean, do those guys get the bullpen? Do they wind up in Memphis? So many decisions to make and so many interesting things, but the depth feels like it's there. We'll just have to see how it pans out when the season actually gets started.
Yeah. It's some of the decisions are going to be tough. I mean, it has the makeup of a really good overall staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should be fun to watch. Cardinals have a full slate this week. Don't have another off day until a week from Tuesday. They're off on St. Patrick's Day. We don't have to watch those green jerseys. That's great. I like that. Huh? I expect that schedule every year. I know my luck will probably wear them on the 16th or something.
Yeah. I did see a hat out. That's why it kind of surprised me, but you never know how, you know, authentic or whatnot. I get those ads in my email all the time about Cardinals gear, and you never know what's authorized stuff or not.
MLB will make all those up, whether they wear them or not.
Yeah.
Sell them. And I guess people buy them. I don't know why. It's amazing some of these jerseys that they make them. And like I said, I guess people buy them, but some of them are like, why? You
know, yeah.
Why would you do that? But I guess different strokes for different folks, as the saying goes. So anyway, there should be, we'd expect some more cuts this week. You know, there really wasn't anything interesting except for the Munoz issue out of the first round of cuts. So we'll see if the second round makes it any more interesting. I think some of these decisions, though, you know, Ponce de Leon and Gomber and all those kind of guys, I think those decisions just go make it to the end. I know we've talked, you know, there's sometimes where they'll cut that starting pitcher early so he can go get his innings in the minor league because there's going to be fewer innings to get pretty soon. But I think they're, you know, they're really going to take these guys down to the limit and see who, if they have a plan for them using in the bullpen, just to see, you know, because it's going to take every little bit to see who gets the call. All right. Well, let's call it a night, I guess, then. Alan and I will be with you.
A mute button again. Got me again.
Yeah, I figured it might. Sorry. We'll wrap it up. We'll mute ourselves. I think, you know, I think people would rather my mute button go down, but hasn't yet. So until next time, we'll talk to you later. I'm Daniel. That's Alan. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate, a swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!